station. Now, what's the new show like? I mean, is it overkill? Is it more than people could possibly expect?
It's underkill. No. What we have here is the epitome of what we think the Electric Circus is. Because to understand what our meaning of the Electric Circus is, it could best be summed up by the title of this, well, the chorus of the title song, when it says, "Welcome to life inside the Electric Circus. The animals are all insane, God help us." That's the band's point of view when we stand on the stage and look down at that audience, because they have a tendency to get excited. Now, the stage is a triple-layered stage, not including the actual performing level. It's three levels high in the back. They're animal cages. And in the cages are the amplifiers, and they're painted up like animal skins and things like that. Now, behind us, there's a tent that goes around, a regular circus tent, red and white stripe. And in the seams of that tent are lights, and you can't see the lights until this thing is turned on. And when that thing comes alive, it's, hence the expression, inside the Electric Circus. So it's a little bizarre, to say the least.
Are the fans getting a little bit out of hand, or are they just...
Well, that's like calling King Kong a monkey. Right? You know, they have a good time. They enjoy themselves.
Now, with this new album, well, we'll talk about more of the new album in just a moment. We're going to take a look at Blind in Texas. Is this a true story, or is it just...
Well, anybody that goes to Texas, I mean, those boys down there, they like to have a good time. And you can't go there without appreciating the way they live down there, or what is really a way of life. And I guess just to answer your question, yeah, it's a true story.
Then you're going to have to do the dirty work, introduce the video to that camera right there. It's all yours.
Well, when you wake up the next day and you look down at your feet and it looks like you got four instead of two, you wake up and you say, "I'm blind in Texas."
Ladies and gentlemen, a true story of tale, woe, and lust. Blind in Texas. Blackie, now let's see. You started about 1982 with Wasp-ish.
Right.
And that's, metal wasn't metal, really, in California at the time, you said.
Well,
I mean, it was just coming, it was just gaining a little bit momentum. I mean, put it like this. There was Black Sabbath, and there was bands like Trapeze, like we were talking about, and all these other bands that have been working real hard. But they weren't called metal bands. They were just straight rock and roll bands.
Right, it was hard rock, it's called. Well, there was something. I was, for about 5 minutes, I was in a band called New York Dolls, years and years ago. I'm showing my age now. But anyway, after I got out of that insane asylum and I progressed on to something else, the biggest thing I'll say about that is that being in that got me from New York to California. Now, I got in California in 75. And in 75, I met a guy named Kevin Dubrow, Frankie Benelli, George Lynch, who is now in Dokken. All the guys are in Dokken. In other words, I'll summarize this all. There were about the better part of five or six what are now famous bands, very famous bands, that were all hanging out trying to get jobs in local clubs, but it was very tough because punk was just coming into vogue at the time, and then after punk was quickly followed by new wave. Now, what you had was a potpourri of people out there who, because they couldn't get work and refused to change what they were doing, they stuck to their guns. They continued to write songs and do demos. So when there was finally some light at the end of the tunnel in about mid-83, you saw on any given night of the week in Los Angeles, you could see Quiet Riot, Motley Crue, Wasp, Rat, Dokken, and a host of other bands all performing within the same week. And you could have seen those bands for probably about $253 a head. So it literally was a melting pot, and people don't realize what they were seeing at that time. I liken that to a situation of a British invasion of 64, your San Francisco movement of 69. You look at a rock and roll encyclopedia 10 years from now, you're going to see that the 83-84 LA scene will have its own chapter in any encyclopedia you look at after, because there has been, okay, a dozen things came out of that situation, maybe there are only four or five left, but there is still some quality music that have come out of that whole scene out there.
Now, where did Wasp fit in?
Well, even to this day, we fit in kind of a, we don't really fit in. I mean, you have your Metallicas, who are also from that area down there in Southern California, and your speed metal situations that are there, and then you have your Rats and Bon Jovis and people like that. And then you have to ask yourself, well, where does a wasp really fit? Well, we really don't. We're somewhere in the middle between the two of those. That was a very conscious decision from the beginning that we knew we didn't really want to do anything like anybody else is doing. That, and on top of it, the show also lent some credence to the idea that we would also be different doing that. I mean, you know, a grown man walking around with 12-inch saw blades between their legs and things like that, the backs out of their trousers and stuff like that. We did have a tendency to catch people's eye.